One of the core values of the Christian Missionary Alliance is everything belongs to God. We're only stewards. It's not ours, it's His. We're here to manage it for the Lord, of what He has placed into our hands. Stewardship divine, it's to be careful managers of what God has entrusted to us. So in God's perspective, what we have in our hands, and much broader than that, as we'll see in a moment as I get into the scriptures, that it's all His. David said, "Where can I go to find anything to make a sacrifice to you, Lord? That's not already God's. It's already His. So how can I make a sacrifice to the Lord when it's already His? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And I like this as I was reading through scriptures and just saw that. Yeah. We're bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We're bought with a price. We're owned by God. If we're owned, everything we have is His. The second bullet on that slide says, God is the source of our increase. He gives us the ability to make wealth. We don't own our job. We aren't successful at our job because we just are. God gives us all those abilities, the wherewithal, and the blessing on top of that for it to work out for Him. Naked I came into the world, Job says, naked I will go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So where do we start? So in your outline on the back of your bulletin there, it talks about what are we gripping tightly is the first question. What do we hold on to in this life that we think is ours? What is our security that we feel as though we depend upon? That sort of takes the place of the Lord in our lives. Well, the first place we start is as we look at what we own and look at who we are, we release it back to God, right? We surrender it. We give it back to Him. It's not ours. It's His. So what's in your life that's important to you? We'll come back to that question probably repetitively as we go through. This was certainly important to this gentleman, as you can see in the cartoon. Well, Charles, when I baptize you, everything that goes under belongs to God. Well, he was making sure something didn't go under, right? And if you're in the younger crowd, it's probably the phone. It's, you know, we don't want it to get wet anyway, but what belongs to God? Here's a list. Not a complete list by any means. It's not a complete list. But you can see on there a number of things. Time, treasures, we understand that. Talents, how we're made, our abilities. All these are resources of God to us. Our family, our place in the family, our society. The fact we're born in the United States with such privilege. It's God's purpose for us. His plan for us. Why are we here? And of course, property, grandchildren, our children. That. But there's one on there says, life experiences trials. My wife was abused as a child. We hear a lot of that in the news that is coming out more from people's lives. She was abused as a child. Her dad was an alcoholic father. And she would tell me stories. I remember she would tell me that when he's in a rant, when he's coming home, drunk and stupor and angry, she would take the three little ones and herself, four of them, when they would climb in a closet and just stay there for an unending time that she could never put a time frame. I don't know really how long I was there or in there. I just did not come out until things died down. Whether it was with the two older brothers, with his wife, whatever, she always hid them. She remembers being between her mom and dad when dad had a knife on her mom and trying to, at 7 or 8 years old, defuse that situation. And she goes on to stories and stories. My point is this. Later on, I'm going to fast forward many, many years, as God brought my wife through a healing process. That's, of course, the main gift that God has given to her when it comes to that scenario. And I want to be very gentle here to anyone who has something like that going in their life or has happened in their life. The first place to go is to God and find that healing. God is a healer. And now you talk to the pastor, elder, whoever, to open that subject up and find that healing if that's still something in your life. And as my wife found healing, came to the Lord as an adult, and a number of years after that found God's touch in her life, down the road and brought some healing back to my wife out of her disability, we opened up a bridal gown shop about 11, 12 years ago. And in that bridal gown shop was a place that she felt God's given this to me. This is his place for me to live out my faith, live out God's love to these brides and their families and their dysfunction, if you please. But one of the employees that we hired had gone through some struggles in her own home life and in relationships and a type of abuse that she had gone through. And so that opened up the door for my wife to be a witness one of our first employees. And I remember as she was talking with her day after day in this circumstances, one day was especially problematic for this woman. And she was down in a little dark area in our first floor under a stairwell, and she wouldn't come out, and she was talking suicide. She was just not engaging in life anymore, and things had just pounded on her. My wife called me up and said, Clem, can you come down to the shop? Can we pray with her, talk to her, and help her assist her through that time, and then get her to a counselor and help her through that? And she became a valued employee, great friend of ours and our two daughters now for the last 10, 12 years, and worked for the store 7, 8 years after that. We really appreciated her and what God did for her. My point is this: what if my wife said, what I went through as a child, I'm not going to let anybody else know. I'm not going to share my story. I'm not going to steward the experiences that God took me through because it's too painful to share it again and again and again. We've had a number of employees who were touched by the same story as they came to work for us in the early days of the shop. I don't know what you've been through, but life experiences, what God takes us through and brings that healing to us, is then something God wants to use to help others, to touch others for the kingdom. Stewardship is broader than just physical assets of what we own. You can turn to Matthew 25. We'll look at the parable of the talents briefly, and we'll go through that. And again, if something comes to mind to write on your outline, that you may feel that, gee, I just have a little bit too tight a grip on that, that's what you'd write down. It can become a prayer list as God is touching you. It can be, again, anything that was on that list and beyond that. So we're going to Matthew 25, verse 14. Unfortunately, Pastor told me I have 120 minutes, so we should be able to cover everything. All right. Yeah, we'll be good. No worries. 25:14, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 25. Again, that kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. So we see we're talking about stewardship, managing something that somebody else's property. The master had the property, the master assigned it, entrusted to his servants. For them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Ability there, I want to expand for us to bring a relationship that includes how God has designed us. The abilities, yes, he has given us. But I think it includes the painful things we might have gone through in our life, the trials that we might have been through. However God has maybe bent us in life, it's for our purposes as Christians, I want you to broaden the term. And then the master went on his journey, verse 16. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now we drop to verse 24. Then the man who had received the 1 talent, master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The point I want to make there briefly as I drop down to 24, I knew that you were a hard man. These servants knew the master. So as we go back up there, the master went on his journey, gave them space, gave them time, gave them resources, and then went on his way. okay, what were we supposed to do with this stuff? They knew the master. He had role modeled it before them. They understood what was expected of them. Okay? And so the man who had received that 5 talents won at once, as if he had a passion, as if he was on mission to go out and follow through what the master had already represented to him, role modeled before him. And so we go into verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. And I put the enthusiasm back there because they understood the expectations of the master. They believe they've got it. They believe they did it and fulfilled it, followed through, and then presented it to the master. And the master replied in verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share. Come into my presence. Come and share in my happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come into my presence. Come share your master's happiness. With the space and time and stuff they had, they went out and fulfilled the plan. They invested. They took a risk. Sometimes we don't want to do that. It's just a little too risky. They took a risk. And how much, by the way, did they put to work? All of it. Think about that. They probably lived off of that. That's where they got their sustenance to survive during this long time. And they put it all to work to honor the master. So we go on. In verse 24, we read that before about the servant that did not put it to work, but hid it in the ground, said he was afraid and hid the money. So he dropped to 26. His master replied to the wicked servant, just that, you wicked and lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Okay, they knew the master. They did not follow through. He did not follow through. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. I pondered that for a long time. I'm a banker, 19 years banking, CFO, and all that good stuff at a bank. Why would Jesus put in the parable, go to the bankers? For Pete's sake, a lot of people don't even trust the bankers. Even that small step, even that small step means something. Because doing nothing is not an option, right? Doing nothing is not an option. He's counseling all of us here. Just a small step. I don't know if that's throwing something in the offering plate. I don't know what that represents in our world in the United States, but something is a step of faith. At least you should put your money on deposit with the bankers. So we'll try and summarize that as we go on here. So let's back up. We saw that they won at once. They were missional. They had a passion to fulfill the master's desire. And our resources that God has placed into our hands will follow our life mission. Whether we know what that life mission is or not, our resources are getting used in that direction or they're getting stored. Building a bigger barn, whatever it be. So we're either using them in our life mission or they're getting stored. Maybe they're getting stored because one of our life missions is to get to retirement. You know, so we went, how much is enough? 1 million? 2 million? I've been in many homes. I never found anyone said I had enough. Well, I shouldn't say that. There were a couple who said, I have enough, I'll be okay. It was fun to work with them and how they viewed it. But we all are at that place where it's but these servants were passionate. What is our passion? How has God designed us, abilities, life experiences, painful trials, bent us? What is in our life? Who are we? Why has God put us here and designed us so? Whatever that is. My pastor, elder that I was with, we dolted a church, and he was pastor every night, went down to help that church plant for a number of years, work with him. He was a bowler. He loved bowling. He bowled before he was a Christian. He bowled after he was a Christian. He bowled after he was a pastor. He didn't give up bowling. So we're not talking about passions that may be in your life that you are to give up necessarily. But in his case, what did he find at the bowling alley? He found God's place to touch people. He had led people to the Lord at the bowling alley. He had prayed for healing for people at the bowling alley. And he has represented the Lord there at the bowling alley. His passion did not change, but who he was honoring changed. We have been given God's mission plan in these two verses summarized here and other verses. Go and make disciples. We blend who we are and how God made us, designed us, equipped us, resourced us with God's mission for us. We are to go and make disciples and be his witnesses. We all are trying to balance this life thing with these bullet points I have on the screen with what God's plan is for our life. And I don't have all the answers because each of us is uniquely different, only that you are engaged in where God has you and making a difference there. Because it's not about storing up here, right? It's about living our life in such a way that there are treasures being built in heaven, not on earth. Where what? Your heart is where you're really, your passions are at. That's what you're going after. That's you. And that's usually evidence in your treasures, what you hold dear. So in that screen, in that slide that I had up, there were resources there listed. There was one that was a different color. What was that? Anyone remember all those resources? Time, talent. What else was there? Different color. Gospel. It is the gospel that we are stewarding. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we are stewarding the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And all this other stuff that we're about are directed for that purpose. So we go to the third thing. How are we investing who and what we are? How are we putting that to work? What is God's particular designed call for each of us? I do pray things do come to mind in that, what you're already doing, how to accentuate that, how to enhance that, how to get more of God's anointing on what you are doing. And if you're not, if you don't feel some purpose there, first of all, God does have a purpose, and how to put yourself to work. That could be Greenview Alliance Church and how to be part of the work here at a growing pace, community group leaders and Sunday school teachers and nursery. You only need a few things right here to run the church, Pastor Ron. But there's a ton of things. But the Good News Club, it's beyond Jordan. How about going to Jordan? Whatever God has been put on your heart to be where he wants you to be, but open it up. Make sure he has the ability to reach in, that you're not just gripping tightly, trying to make it to retirement or the next step of life or get your kids to whatever, your kids to college or whatever it be. But God's active in your life to the fullest extent that he desires to be now. What are you investing in? Now, just to give you a little background of the Alliance, here's some Alliance statistics. Thank you for blessing, supporting the international workers, the work of the Alliance, and what they're doing around the world. Thank you. And I bring that from the National Office and Dr. Stumbo to bless you. It's It's a privilege, and I was saved in the Alliance. It's a privilege to be part of this organization, but it's not the only organization that's doing the work. May you be a part of whatever God has for you in the place he has put you. But thank you for what you are doing, because you are building a legacy in heaven of the soul's touch through that giving. And it's neat, you said about Juan getting married, right? Going to Ecuador. And that Ecuador has sent out several workers into especially the southern Europe part and into the Middle East. I don't know the count offhand. I knew some missionaries from Ecuador who shared this with me. But there are 22 national churches throughout the world who are sending out their own workers. It's just not the United States that is sending out workers. South Korea and the Philippines and Japan, and of course, Canada and Ecuador. They're all sending out workers. What's neat about it is that the workers coming from Latin America, the CNMA work in Latin America that they send out like to the Middle East, they're more received than American would be received. So God's design is using these workers from Latin America to the Middle East and that. God's on his throne. He's working. And it's wonderful. And we can't tell you all the stories. These are creative access countries, many of them. But God is working. It's about changing lives. And my heart, and I want to share a little bit more with you in a moment, is that we be part of that work of changing lives. Whether it's in the Alliance, in Greenview, or in another Good News Club, or in another place God has for you in your workplace, neighborhood, changing life. What are you investing in? Moving to the fourth point before I reach my 120 minutes. So you can see the slide and see the comment there. Let me move to the next one. So in 2007, God in his wisdom said, your role at the bank as CFO, executive officer and all that good stuff, has ended. I am dismissed. Me and the president are dismissed. Not for any real calls or anything, just they're changing course and okay, all right. Bless you. My boss was a Christian, and I said, bless you, no problem. We'll see where God has for us next. And I shook their hands and thanked them for the 19 years that I was there. But what did I get my hands around within moments after exiting the door? My retirement account. I'm age 52. No, I'm not 52 now, a little bit older. I wasn't yet ready to retire, nor was I in a place to retire at 52. So my arms got around, gripping tightly that retirement account. And I watched that account, and everything was okay as we went through 2007 until I found where does God want me? And I had some space and I had some time to discern that. In the meantime, my wife is coming back after her illness of many, many years, lupus and the diabolical issues of the lupus and the medications that she was on, 10, 12 different medications, 10, 12 different specialists. We were running constantly. Finally, we had to throw most of that out the door 20-some years ago because the doctors gave her about a year to live, and so why continue this nonsense of treatment if that wasn't going to work anymore? So let's throw all that out. That's what she did, and then she had to stay on a couple meds. One was the pain patch, fentanyl patch. Everyone hears about that in the news because you can buy it from your local school, unfortunately. A fentanyl patch, and she was on steroids. Both aren't fun, and both aren't good. But you just can't stop them, okay? Took her transition. But these were things through alternative medical, God brought her back. So I'm in 2007, God had lifted my wife back over a period of years. And after getting off the opiate in August of 2007 through a natural process, boom, my wife was so excited about life. I mean, she literally was a new person. Get that stuff out of your head and all of a sudden, get the opiates out of your head and all of a sudden, boy, did things clear up. She was excited about life and said, she was looking, what can I do for the Lord at age 50? Well, hon, I don't know what you can do for the Lord, but hopefully it won't require my retirement account. Boy, did it require the retirement account. So at the end of 2007, stewarding her life and what God had done for her, we bought a bridal gown shop and started to trickle in the retirement funds into a business for her. And that's where I shared the story of some of our employees who God has touched through her ministry. And she had opportunities there to pray with and talk to others, people who were their own terminal illness and getting married because they need to get it done now because they know they're sick, and having a chance to pray with them and have that opportunity. So as we go through 2008, investing in this business. Now, do you buy a business before a great recession? I didn't know it was coming. So there we are in 2008 and 9, and the stock market started doing a really horrific thing. The volatility was extreme. Never again has that been seen, nor before that was the volatility in the stock market been there, except you go back in the Great Depression maybe, but not even that volatility. And it was going up and down. The stock market's going up. When it would go up, I'll be okay. I'll make it. It'll be all right. Goes down. Oh, no. The market's down. What am I going to do? Finally, God got a hold of my heart and said, it's not in the stock market. It's not in your retirement account. That's all mine. Don't worry about it. It's about what's in your heart and trusting in Him. Are you on mission? Are you fulfilling God's purposes in your life, Clem? Are you going the route that I have put you on? Then I will sustain you. I will make it work, this store thing, this bridal shop, because I have formed it. I have put you in it, and I placed you there. Trust me. As you go into the passage that's on the screen to the Philippians, they, in that context, we're ministering, we're helping Paul, we're sending a fragrant offering ahead of him, and Paul is coming back to them as I'm coming back to you. I know we want to hold on to things. I know that we hold tightly to things. I know it's hard sometimes in our society. What's going to happen next? What's government going to do? What's Trump going to do? What war is going to break out? And all those things are about us and weigh us down. Will I have medical insurance? That's going to be the big campaign issue. How is medical insurance going to be done? And scare you to dickens. Social Security is going to go away. No, it's not. But you get scared. But my God, be on mission. Fulfill His plan in your life. Trust in Him. And my God will meet all your needs in Christ Jesus. That's where the freedom's at, so that we can be about the Master's business. Because our huge daddy got it under control for you and for me. Where do you place your trust? Get it off the retirement account, bank account, rental properties, pension, Social Security, job, paycheck. Put it on the Lord. Gotta watch my time. I have 36 minutes, so I'm okay, I think. Let me go into Mary here. She brought a non-cash gift to the Lord. Okay, part of my role is non-cash giving. Okay, she brought a non-cash gift. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume, very expensive alabaster jar of perfume. Maybe it was her retirement account. Maybe it was her security fund. Something of sentimental value, I don't know. But in that culture, it said it had high value, so I think it had meaning to her and was a resource to her, very important. But she brought it to the Lord, and she poured it out on His head. That was her gift. She used what she had. She did not hold on to it. And she wanted to show her adoration and her love, her passion for the Lord. And she took a risk. She took a risk that we face a lot of times, as she invested herself and what she had to bless her Lord and show her love. One of those risks always is, so you're going to take your retirement account and put it in a bridal shop? That's so dumb. Thank you. I'm a CPA. I know that. What may that be in your life? But what people say matters, and unfortunately jams us up, and immediately we don't move forward. of what God wants to do in our life. And of course, if we use up that which is in our life, how am I going to live? What's that security? But she showed her love, and of course, Jesus said to her, why? Title of our message. He told the disciples, let her alone. She's done a beautiful thing to me. I want you to see, and I just need to always bring myself back here, that what we do for the Lord matters and touches lives, whether we see the life that's touched or not. And when we do it for the Lord, in the way of whether it's giving, praying, going, doing, in church or beyond, there's a soul ultimately being touched. And it says back in Matthew 25, we're still in the same chapter. It's in Matthew 25, where they clothed him when he was naked, right? They fed him when he was hungry. They gave him drink when he was thirsty. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And we bless Jesus. What I think is happening in this picture with Mary is that at the moment she stepped out in faith and brought that non-cash gift, poured it on the head of Jesus. Jesus was blessed. His words say, you've done a beautiful thing to me, but let me get you the picture. Have you ever been blessed where somebody out of the ordinary touched your heart? Out of the ordinary, something was done for you and it just moved you to tears. Immediately that you knew that in a moment, your heart was touched. You probably, number you can come to a moment where that has happened. That's what is happening here. And tears, I believe, could possibly be welling up in Jesus' eyes. We don't see that, know that, because there's oil poured on his head. The perfume is poured on his head. But he was blessed. We go back into the parable of the talents, and we saw there where the master said, not just good and faithful servant. I like that. Yeah, yeah. But he says, enter into my happiness. The master was blessed because the servants got it, and they fulfilled the plan, the expectations. And the master says, I'm blessed. Come on in with me. May you see the lives, the hearts, the souls you're to touch and be a blessing for him, where he has placed you, how he's designed you, what he's resourced you with. I'll be back at the table, answer any questions, or pray with you about this matter. My wife is an amputee, and all the problems and situations she's gone through, the bone structure broke down in her left leg. She lost her leg. So we open up a store, and God takes her leg. But God sustained. In 8 weeks, my daughter is a partner. She ran the store for her during that time. In 8 weeks, she's back in the store, walked 2 miles. Point is this. So as she's working this bridal shop, and she bends down or she has to go up some steps, people see the shiny pole coming out from her pant leg. She didn't wear shorts or anything like that, but people would see it and say, oh, I didn't know you didn't have a leg. And they begin to ask her, how do you handle that? What do you think her first answer is? Jesus. God bless you. Thank you. I'll turn it over to the worship team.